Tonight I'd like to talk about a couple absolutes. You know, there's not very many absolutes in this world that we have before us, but there are some, and so I'd like to talk about a couple. The first one I'd like to talk about is that in this room, there are absolutely two types of people. If you look around, there are lots of different people from different backgrounds, but in this room tonight, there are those that are saved and those that are lost. There are only two types of people in this world, those that are saved and those that are lost. And so to start with, I'd like to open God's Word and look at the characteristics of those two types of people. So we'll start in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. I think most every one of us knows this verse very well. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So tonight, if you're an unsaved person in this world, in this room, you've sinned. And you've come short of the glory of God. If we also look at chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so, if you're unsaved tonight, the wages that you've accumulated is death. That is, you have upon yourself the sentence of death. You have that to look forward to. You might say, well, I'm not such a bad person. I'm not as bad as some of the people in the prisons or not as bad as somebody else that I know. But that's because we make the mistake sometimes of comparing ourselves to others as a standard. And we make the assumption that if we're not as bad as somebody else, then that means we're good. But that's not what God's Word tells us. It says, for all have sinned. The standard that we're compared against is not against each other, but we're compared against God's standard. And by God's standard, we have failed. We have sinned, and we've come short of the glory of God. Let's look in chapter 14 of Romans. We'll start reading in verse 11. Romans 14, verse 11, "For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess." So then everyone shall give an account of himself to God. Tonight, if you're here and you're unsaved, you'll someday have to give an account of yourself to God. And if we were to turn to the Scriptures, we'll find that it says that no one will be able to stand before Him and talk back to God. God will open that book, and from that book, He'll judge each and every one of those that are there without the Lord Jesus as their Savior. In fact, let's look in Revelation chapter 20 and look specifically at that verse. Revelation chapter 20 and we'll start with verse 11. Before we read this, I want you to think, if you were to stand before God in your own sins, to stand before God there without another that has taken your punishment, this is what you'll experience. Verse 11, "I saw a great white throne and Him that sat upon it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book that was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire." And so tonight, if you're unsaved, that's what you have to look forward to. God's Word says that you sin. God's Word says that the penalty for sin is death, and that you have to give account of yourself before God. And in that time, if you stand before God unsaved, then you'll be cast into hell. Now let's look at the other group that's in this room. Because as solemn as that is, to think of one here tonight that is not saved We trust that most, if not all of us here, are saved. And what a beautiful place we've been brought into by the work of our Lord Jesus. And so let's read a little bit about some of the things that characterize those of us that have been saved. Let's start again in Romans. And we'll look in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:1, I thought this would be a good verse to start when we talk about those that have been saved and the characteristics that we have. To start with this verse, it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What a contrast to the other group, those that are unsaved, who had upon them the sentence of death, who have upon them that expectation that sometime in the future they'll stand before God to be judged. We, as those that have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, have before us no condemnation. Does it say if we behave ourselves? Does it say if we came from the right family? It doesn't. What it says is there is therefore now no condemnation. What a beautiful place to be in, that we can look forward not to judgment, but we can look forward to that place that the Lord has prepared for us. Let's look in chapter 8 and verse 35 a little more about what we have to look forward to. So it says, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulations and distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So not only do we have in the Lord Jesus, we have no condemnation, but we also have a love that's unfailing that we can experience no matter what we are go through in this world. The list of stuff that's listed here is pretty amazing. And if you think back in the history, there were those believers that were put to the sword, who were tried in terrible ways and suffered terrible persecutions. And yet, the scriptures tell us that they were never separated from the love of God. We have something that we can never lose, that we can experience day by day as we walk through this scene. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, and we'll read verse 23. I just want to read the last part of the verse, and it says, for he is faithful who promised. We don't have time tonight to go through this book and pull out all the promises that God has given us as those that have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. But the promises are amazing. And not only are they amazing, but they're sure. They're like having them already in our possession right now. We haven't entered in fully to all those promises yet, but they're as good as done because God made those promises and he doesn't go back on his promises. He has given us that promise. We can enjoy those promises right now. A promise of that which is to come. A promise for our walk through this scene. Let's look in chapter 13. Here's a promise that should be dear to our heart. As we walk through this scene, we have friends that come and go. We have friends that disappoint us. We have expectations sometimes we find that aren't met. And yet, if we look at verse 5, Hebrews 13:5, it says, the last part of the verse again, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Imagine that. As we walk through the scene, we have one who will never leave us nor forsake us. So we can have confidence that wherever we're at, that he is there with us to help us, to lead us in the way. And then finally, let's look at a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll start reading verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Again, if you are here tonight, covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you can't even imagine what is in store for you and I. That which he has prepared for us to enjoy. Now we read in scripture some pretty amazing descriptions of heaven. Stuff that we can't understand. Streets paved with gold that is so pure that you can see through it. Marvelous scenes of riches beyond imagination. Scenes of being able to see our Lord and Savior and be in his presence. All those things. And yet, our imagination is limited because of what we've experienced here, that we aren't able to understand what God has in store for us. He's brought us into a blessed place of privilege here when he gave his only son. And what a place of blessing we have. So why do we talk about the two groups in this room? The concern would be that those that are in who have not accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that there'd be one here who is tonight not covered by the blood of Christ. The most important decision you'll make in your lifetime is what will you do with Christ? And if you're in your sins tonight, if you don't have the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the question for you tonight is, what will you do with Jesus? You don't have tomorrow to think about it. You don't have next week that it might be a more convenient time. You have tonight. And the Lord is asking, what will you do with him and his offer of mercy? So how do you change groups? If you're lost tonight, if you aren't saved, let's look at a couple of verses. We'll start in Romans chapter 5. And we'll start reading in verse 9. And remember, these verses or if you want to change groups, if you want to be saved tonight, it says, verse 7, Romans 5, 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for you. So tonight the work has been done. All that's left is for you to accept the Lord as your Savior. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That work was done back at Calvary, but the question is, will you accept him as your Savior? Let's look in Romans chapter 10 for one last verse. Romans 10 and verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. God gave his Son so that you could have everlasting life. He desires you to take his Son as your Savior so that you might be able to be in that place prepared for us. That you might be amongst the saved instead of having before you a lost eternity, an eternity of hell. Instead of that, you have before you heaven, a place that we can't even adequately describe what the joy that will be there. And not only that, but it's for all eternity. You know, when I was 15, I went on a field trip. And during that field trip, I stayed on a military base. And they really didn't know what to do with a bunch of young high school kids. And so they put us in the officers' quarters. And we went through the officer's mess. And for the first time in my life, I experienced two things. First is, I found out what was called a ham and cheese omelet. I had never had one. And when I went through the line, they asked me if I wanted a ham and cheese omelet. I didn't know what a ham and cheese omelet was, but I said, sure. In fact, I said I'd take two of them. And so I had a ham and cheese omelet. And the other thing I found out was that they didn't lock up the pop machine. So you could have as much pop, soda pop as you wanted. Now, when you're 15, that's pretty good. I was living high. But it only lasted for 2 days, and then we moved on, and I've never had that same experience again. Now I know what a cheese omelet is. But let me tell you, the reason I tell you a little story is because I was struck today that God set it up not only such a great experience that we're going to enjoy in the Lord Jesus, but He set it up so we can enjoy it for all eternity. Not for 2 days, not for a week, never grows old. He has made it the most amazing thing that we can imagine. In fact, it's beyond our imagination to be in that place He's prepared for us for all eternity. It never ends. And so you have before you the question, what will you do with Jesus tonight? If you're in your sins, please turn to the Lord Jesus. He may come at any moment and take us home. You may be taken into eternity, and then it'll be too late. And to stand before God as your judge would be an awful thing. To stand there before God and not have a single thing you can say as to why you turned down His offer, something that cost His Son. Imagine standing before God and being asked that question, why didn't you accept my Son as your Savior? And not having a word to say. Let's close in prayer.